You're tuned into Highway Sermons with Steve Wheeler.
Praise God. I love the gospel, amen? And you have opportunity to share in the gospel financially and through your prayers and through your going and stepping out and all these wonderful things that we are called to do together. Okay, so I see it's kind of coming out of winter now. And there's been a bit of pruning. Or were those all the people that were here on Wednesday night and didn't think they had to come today? A little bit of pruning, but that's nice because you know what happens after the winter? The rain starts falling. And you know what happens when the rain falls? All those pruned branches just go woof with fruit. Are you ready to bear fruit in your life? Amen. Let's take up our Bibles together. Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. That's something to be excited about. Romans 12 and verse 1. Therefore, we haven't got time to go into all the therefores, but you can download our series on Romans 1 to 8 on the website. Therefore, in view of all these wonderful things, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. When we bought our most recent home about 8-9 years ago, I said to Janet, go and look at all the houses you like and find me one with a view. Isn't that a good wife for you? So she looked at about 40 houses and then eventually came back to me and said, I think I found one you like. I wanted a view. I mean, how can you live in Durban and not have a view? We've got such beautiful vistas and such breathtaking beauty around us. The Bible says, in view of God's mercy. You know, you've got to get a view of God's mercy. You've got to see it. His mercy is His grace. His mercy is His kindness. His mercy is His, you didn't get what you deserved, but Jesus got what you deserved so you can get what He deserved. That's grace and mercy working together. Grace is that you didn't get, mercy isn't that you didn't get what you should have got. Grace is you got what you didn't deserve to get. In view of that, in view of this incredible mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. Now, who's got to do that? Who does the offering? We do the offering. We offer our bodies as living sacrifice. Because of this great mercy and this wonderful grace we've heard all about, we are a new creation. We are a brand new man. Our spirit is born again. It's a new creature. It can't get any more perfect before God than it already is. Our soul has been sanctified, made holy and perfect, but our mind is finding out who we are, and there's a process that takes place. But our bodies, that's the third part of our, if you want to look at it as a tripart being, a spirit, soul, and body. Your body is the last part that is not, doesn't always come to the party. So soul and spirit have to gang up against the body. Because the body can get a bit lazy. You know, the body is neutral. The body is not evil or good. The body is just pretty neutral. It does whatever the emotions, the mind, the will, the thoughts want to do. It pretty much follows. So if you want to lie in control of the TV remote, guess what your body does? You know? Day after day after day, if you let it. Welcome back, Brian Miller. You had an excuse for lying in bed because you had no other choice. But the body, our physical body, has to play catch up in the sense that we have to tell our body what to do. I wanted to come and worship this morning. Me, the real me. Okay, not this vehicle that I'm in. The real me wanted to come and worship this morning, but oh, that pillow was so nice and warm and cuddly. And my wife said, you've got to get up now. I said, I don't feel like it. She says, you've got to get up. I said, why? She said, because you're the pastor. You know, if we just listen to our body all the time, it would take us on every which way but loose. Sometimes we've got to offer our body. We've got to say, body, you listen to me now. I want to do this and you come with me right now. Left, right, left, right, left, right. That's part of a sacrifice. That's part of our spiritual act of worship. But notice it says that you offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. You see, the you in the spirit has been made holy and pleasing to God. There's nothing you can do to add to become holy and pleasing to God. Your spirit man is a completely new creature, a completely new species, a completely set apart, sanctified, new being. And in the same way that you have been set apart as holy and pleasing, our bodies need to be told what to do sometimes, because their default setting is pretty much laziness or negative, or they want to eat more than's healthy, or they want to do things more than what's healthy. They want stuff that, give me, feed me, I want. And we got to say, I'm bigger than my body, and I tell my body what you can do and what you can't do, not the other way around. Okay, that's part of your worship. That's part of offering yourself as pleasing and as an act of spiritual worship. Goes on in the next verse and says, explains how we do this, and says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. You know, this world's got a pattern. There's a pattern in this world. It's like a blueprint. It tells you what you should look like. It tells you what you should be like. It tells you, if anybody gets in your way, just walk over them. The world's pattern is completely opposite to the kingdom's pattern. The kingdom's pattern is, if you humble yourself, he will raise you up. The world system is, just bully your way to the top. The kingdom's way is, it's more blessed to give than receive. The world says, get, grab it, can it, and then don't give it away. How does Andrew say? Get all you can all you get, and then sit on your can. The kingdom says, you can never outgive God. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. You see, the pattern of the world is a system of thinking. It's even religious. It's very much tells you what you should do in order to please God. But we found that the gospel came and served notice on religion. Because the true gospel is the end of religion. Because religion, you know, my definition of religion used to be the difference between the religion and the gospel. This was mine, is how I used to define it. Religion is man's attempt to reach God. The gospel is God's reaching man. I want to add something in the middle there just to give more meat to it. Religion is man's attempt at establishing his own righteousness in order to reach God. Don't do this, do that, go here, don't go there, feel good enough, reach a certain level of maturity, be holy enough, be righteous enough. The gospel is God establishing his own kind of righteousness so that he can reach you. And his righteousness was Jesus. The perfect righteous sacrifice was his way of reaching you. So now your way of coming into the throne room of God is not based on what you think you should or shouldn't do, but based on what Jesus has done and hasn't done. And let me tell you, the gospel has announced the end of Pentecostal religion, of Islam religion, of Hindu religion, of charismatic religion, of traditional religion. It's come to announce the end of religion, man's attempt to establish a right standing to get to God, and has turned it around and is preaching this glorious message of freedom that Jesus lived the perfect life you should have lived. so that you can come into the presence of God with the same confidence as Jesus himself came into the presence of God. I want to tell you, if we get a hold of this, if we get this into our spirits, we will move from being religious people to being the most gospel-centered, gospel-loving people in the world. This is powerful. So the pattern of this world wants to conform you. But you need to be transformed. Say transformed. You see, if you've had the miracle of rebirth, and that, my friends, is something no church could do for you. No organization could do that for you. If you have been born again, it's because the Word of God came into you and faith was birthed in you and you came alive in your spirit and you know that you know that you know. If that's never happened, then consider yourself a seeker. And we've all been seekers at some stage in our life, and it's a good thing to be a seeker. It's a good place to acknowledge that I'm a seeker. I'm not backing off. I'm not running away. I'm not walking in denial. I'm seeking. But I don't know if I've been born again. Let me tell you, the problem in the church isn't that there's a whole lot of worldliness in the church. The problem in the church is that there's a whole lot of people who haven't been born again in the church. The born again nature of the new life of Christ wants to shine out of us. It wants to transform us. You know when Jesus went up the Mount of Transfiguration and he shone? That word, transfiguration, that's the same word. He was transformed. What's in us wants to come out of us. And what's in you is identical to what was in Jesus. You got the same nature in you that was in Jesus when he walked on earth. I mean, I know this sounds bold, but if Jesus was walking on earth today, as he was 2,000 years ago, you would be his twin brother and sister. Blasphemy. Now, I didn't say you are God in the flesh. Only Jesus was God in the flesh. But you are Jesus in the flesh. His spirit, if you're born again, you got the same spirit living in you that lived in Jesus. Amen. And all that's happening is we're coming to transformation so that that life that's in us gets an opportunity to manifest and break out of our pores and transfigure us and shine through us. And how does that happen? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because that's the only part of you that hasn't caught up yet. I mean, your body is neutral, just does what you tell it to do. You have to offer it up to God. You have to tell it what to do, not to. Your mind has to be renewed. How does your mind get renewed? Your mind gets renewed when you learn to recognize what thoughts come from God's Word and what thoughts come from hell. And you start to agree with the words that come from God. And you start to reject the words that come from hell. That's how your mind is being renewed. Sharing with Janet, we're praying this morning on the basis of binding and loosing. It actually in the literal Greek says, whatsoever you bind on earth has already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. That's why you can't loose on earth what isn't loosed. Or another better word for loosed is permitted. It'll help you understand that better. Whatever you permit on earth has been permitted in heaven. So would you say joy is permitted in heaven? You get to permit joy on earth. Is depression permitted in heaven? You get to bind depression on earth. We can only bind on earth what's been bound in heaven. We can only loose on earth what's been loosed in heaven. That's the finished work of the cross. We can't add to what Jesus already did. Sickness, sin, and all the strategy of the devils has been dealt with. Therefore, in heaven, they are refused. They are bound. And we get a release on earth. So now that changes the way we pray. Because when we pray about delinquent teenagers, we know that in heaven, there's no delinquency. Amen? So we can bind on earth any delinquency. We say we do not permit it. And in heaven, there is submission, love, unity. So what can we loose on earth? Submission and unity. Amen. Amen? So now, renewing of the mind is you learning to recognize what thoughts come from the pit of hell that are lies, and what thoughts are consistent with God's word. And as you begin to know what's consistent with God's word, you can bind on earth and loose on earth what's already been bound in heaven and bound on earth. You become an ambassador. You become an agent, a terrorist, releasing the invasion of heaven into this planet. Woo! Glory! Jesus! Steve, that's such a good preach this morning, brother. I want to get the CD and download it. I mean, we're praying... Sorry, Steve. How to embarrass my wife. How to write a book. How to embarrass your wife and still get lunch. I'm just having fun this morning. Because I want you to know that you can be transformed. You can have what's inside of you come out of your pores. You don't have to listen to the lies of the devil and the lies of hell that say you're only half good enough. That you've messed up and messed out and look at your life and God said he was going to do this and that and what nothing has happened. Let me tell you, you need to act in authority, because when you come into agreement with your mouth over the lies of the devil and you bind those lies, you forbid those lies, you bind up those, and you release God's purpose, you are changing your world. You are invading the impossible with the glory of God. Amen? That's how your mind is renewed. Well, I went for prayer last Sunday and they prayed for me and nothing's happened. I'm sorry about that. I really am. But until you, with your mouth, come into agreement, all you're doing is you're negating the bit of faith that you should be operating in. Such as powerful as that. To be transformed is the renewing of our mind. Interesting that to renew is a bit like metanoia. It's to change the way you think. Metanoia is the Greek word from which we translate the word repent. Repent is to metanoia. It's to change the way you think. And to change the way you think isn't just about when you got born again. Everyone thinks repentance is about when you became a Christian. No, you had to change your mind, how you thought about what Jesus did on the cross for you and how your life was all messed up and full of sin and you were deserving of hell. You had to change the way you thought and receive the free gift. But repentance didn't stop there. Repentance is you continually changing your mind to come into agreement with God's truth. Now, it's interesting, the word repentance, the Latin translate, the Latin word there you'll know is repent from the metanoia. So in the Greek it was metanoia. It was first translated into Latin, which was repent. And re is go back, return. Pent is the high place. So it's returning back to the higher place. It's when our carnal mind steps up into the mind of Christ. When we start thinking Jesus' thoughts. When we start filling our mind with what he says we can do. When we start filling our mind with what he says is truth. When our minds are changed, when we change our thinking, we are repenting. We are renewing our minds. Now, unfortunately, if 80% of the time we're filling our heads with garbage, and then 2% of the time we're filling our head with truth, and we wonder why our minds aren't being renewed, we wonder why we're not being transformed. It must be I'm going to the wrong church, or I must be in the wrong religion, or, you know, so let me change my religion or my church and maybe someone else can do it for me. No, that's not going to help. You have to get your mind renewed. Because the same life in Jesus wants to manifest in you. In this world, we are as he is. John 14:17 says. As he is, so are we in this world. We can walk in love. We can walk in joy. We can walk in peace. We can walk. You know, Jesus said, the things I do, you can do, and even greater things than these. Does that mean I can do a greater thing than Jesus did? He did the greatest things. Now, it doesn't mean me personally do greater things than him. It means us corporately can do greater things. Because Jesus was only at one place at one time doing the greater things. But when we, a couple of million, come on now, do the sums. We're covering this planet with the glory of God. We're covering this planet with the truth of the gospel. Transformed, the life of Jesus manifesting through the renewing, the metanoia, the changing that's taking place. As we refuse the lies that come out of hell and we come into agreement with what God is saying and God's word about who you are, what you can do, what you have. It goes on. Then you will be able to test and approve what the will of God is. Then you will be able to test and say approve. From the word to prove. What God's will is. And I know a lot of people have made, you know, different levels of his good will. And then you reach up into his pleasing will. And if you're there long enough, you get into his perfect will. Now, I don't think it's wrong to teach that if you're making a point through that. But really what it's saying is, it's God's will. And his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. Okay? His will is good, pleasing, and perfect. So if you want to know what the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God is, then as your mind is renewed and you begin to allow what's inside of you, the life of Christ, to radiate out of you, you begin living in God's good will, his perfect will, and his pleasing will. What does that look like? So glad you asked. And I'm thinking on my feet, okay? To answer your question. I've already said that Acts 10:38 said Jesus was anointed and went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus showed what his Father's will was. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and he went around doing good. Healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Let's carry on there, James. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 2:1. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence of superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on the power of God. John 14:12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. 1 John 4:17. In the world, in this world, we are like him. Well, the King James says, as he is, so are we in this world. In 1 John 4:4, you dear children are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. You know what the good, perfect, and pleasing will of God is? Is when we're doing the works of Jesus. And how do we do the works of Jesus? When we begin to believe what his word says we can do and have. And we begin stepping out into what he says is true. As we do that, we begin enjoying the will of God. You know, you're in the will of God right now. Just sitting, listening to his word. You are in God's will. Tell the person next to you, you're in God's will today. You know why I did that? is because sometimes we think the will of God is something far out there. And I'm just like working my way into the perfect, the good, and then the pleasing, and then the perfect will of God. If you got Jesus in you right now, you are in the will of God. Did you hear what I just said? If you got Jesus' life inside of you right now, you are in the will of God. Because the old picture we had was like there's four doors there. And I've got to pray and fast and say, Lord, please send a pixie with three ears and four noses at 2 o'clock tomorrow morning to knock on my door. Then I'll know it's you telling me to walk through door three. Jesus is behind one of the doors. His perfect will for my life is behind one of these doors. How do I know if I walk through that door, I'm going to be in His perfect will? Let me tell you, Jesus is in you walking through any door that you choose. Set you free. Set you free. So what if I walk through the wrong door? Jesus is going in with you. And He'll just like take the mouse of heaven, select, drag, cut, paste, and move the whole thing if He has to do. Amen? Because He's God and He can just move things around and reestablish things. Because He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to live in faith. It's not perfection that God is looking for. Oh, I got to, you know, the will of God. The exact will of God. No, faith. Jesus in me, I'm knocking on this door, it opened, I'm walking through, God is with me, in me, and for me, who can be against me? I'm living by faith, I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. And when I see someone sick, I'm going to pray for them, because that's what Jesus did. And if they don't get better, maybe you should be preaching. I'm just going to leave the results to God. Because I've got a door, I opened it, and I trust Him with the rest. I get to share the gospel with someone, and I don't feel like I've got the right words. You know, I've been hearing this, and I love what I hear, but I don't know how to say it right. One word at a time. God says He loves you. If we believe Jesus in us and we are offering our bodies to Him as sacrifices, the very words you've just spoken have come from the Lord Jesus Himself. When you speak in His name, it's Him speaking through you. When you put your hands on somebody in His name, it's Him laying hands on them. When you go somewhere where God showed you, it's Him going somewhere. It's not us doing something to please Him. He's already pleased. And He's living inside of you. And where you go, He goes. Oh, this is so freeing. I mean, there's got to be a law against this because this is just too good. I mean, there's got to be a bit of difficulty with our Christian. I mean, this is just making it, come on, Steve, you're just chocolate coating the whole Bible. I like what John Crowder says. I'm not chocolate coating the Bible. I'm putting chocolate in the middle and on the sides and on the front and on the back. And on this, and covering it and sprinkling it with chocolate as well. In other words, it is too good to be true. Maybe that's why it's called good news, Jim. Yeah, thank you. When you change your mind through coming into agreement with truth and rejecting lies, and you start to learn to recognize the difference, and you come into agreement, and you begin speaking in agreement with what's in your heart, you will see the kingdom of God invading. You will see the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, and the power of God begin manifesting in your life. Jesus said, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's because you're a new creation, you get to see the kingdom of God. It's, if you're a new creature, if you've been born again, you get to see the kingdom breaking in. If you're not born again, you don't get to see the kingdom breaking in. But Jesus didn't make it difficult. He said, repent, change the way you think, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, it's close enough to take a hold of. The kingdom of God is here, you see? When we don't try to come to God based on our goodness, and we step onto His righteousness by faith, Then we're doing what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then starts breaking in. Starts breaking in. You need love in your marriage? Come into agreement with what's in heaven. It's forbidden in heaven. It's bound in heaven. It's not allowed in heaven. You want to see favor in your business? There's no poverty in heaven, no stinginess in heaven, and no shortfall in heaven. Come into agreement with what's in heaven. And with your mouth, begin waging warfare. Let's stand up together. James, can we have that scripture back on again, please? Do not be conformed, but be transformed. Don't you love this? Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will, let's just go through it. By the renewing of your mind, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, perfect, and pleasing will. Lord, we pray right now that as your sons and daughters have come under your word, we'll have a freedom, Lord, to know that we're going to live in your good, pleasing, and perfect will right now. Lord, when we step out of this building this morning, we're going to live in your good, pleasing, and perfect will. Lord, the truth that we are hearing will begin to metanoia our minds, that we are repenting to a place where, Lord, you can break in and invade our worlds because your kingdom is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Be born again, or else you cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you've never been born again, and you're standing here today and you say, I'll be honest, I'm a seeker, but I don't know if I'm born again. The Bible says you must be born again. The Bible says if you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Right now, if that's you, just look up. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. If you look up at me, I want to pray a prayer of agreement with you. So just look up. If that's you, you say, I want you to pray for me this morning, Steve. Just look up, make eye contact with me. In a moment, I'm going to look in your direction. I want you just to indicate by raising a hand that I can pray specifically for you. Not for the person next to you or behind you, for you. So right now, anybody here, just raise your hand if you want me to pray for you. Thank you. Anybody on the side? Anybody on the side, look at me now. Just lift your hand high enough. I know who I'm praying for. Thank you, young man. Anybody else on the side? Anybody on the side of the church? Anyone here? Oh, glorious. Sons of God. Sons of God. Sons of God. Lord, I pray that as we leave this place today, the kingdom is going to break in because you said the works you do, we will do an even greater works. I pray wherever we put our foot today, will be territory for the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I'll speak to those people individually, but to everybody else, have a wonderful Sunday. James is ministering tonight. If anyone needs prayer, there will be a couple of guys up here to pray for you.